Well, this morning's lesson is not any easier for me. And I was talking to Mariah this morning, and I said, you know, of all things I've got to preach on this morning, or in the works to preach on, it's some of the same things we talked about with my grandfather yesterday. And as we've been studying the fruits of the Spirit, this month's fruit is gentleness or meekness. Brother Pat, once again, did an excellent job with his article. And I would encourage you to read that very closely. Some of what I say this morning will go right along with it and use some similar verses. Some of it's a little different, but I say that he did an excellent job with his work. In Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, I want to back up and remind us of this context. It says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." This context begins with this idea of walking in the Spirit. And he really kind of ends that thought with the statement there in verse 25 with this exhortation. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. And it's been a joy, I think, this year to look at these different words in particular, and to examine them and to think about them as characteristics in our lives and how we can grow that kind of fruit in the way that we live. And I think it's been I know it's been beneficial for me, and I believe it's been beneficial for all of us. I would also echo some of what Pat said in his article, that meekness and gentleness is kind of difficult in a sense to define and talk about, because we see such displays of power and authority in the Scriptures, and we're even told ourselves to stand fast for the truth and to, in so many ways, very adamantly express our faith. And yet, this is one of those characteristics that seems to kind of work counter to that to some degree. And many times, unfortunately, perhaps, when we think of gentleness and meekness, we also think of weakness. And I would submit to you this morning from the very onset that that thought is a worldly thought. That thought is not a godly thought. That thought is not a spiritual thought. Gentleness and meekness is not weakness. That's just not the case. Okay? My dad, maybe someone else that had first kind of pointed this out to me, but even as you think over in the book of James, when we read about the small rudder that guides the ship, and we read about putting the bridle on the horse, you know, to control it wherever it goes. And my dad, he loves horses. And he's got horses even now. And when I was little, we had horses. And I mean, just as a little rascal, I can remember Dad, you know, popping me up on the pony and, you know, basically turning me loose, you know, saying, here you go. And as a little guy, I can remember on a couple of occasions, one in particular, getting thrown off that horse. Pony. It wasn't even a horse. And one of them particular occasions when that pony threw me off, it was probably the first time I really got thrown off, other than when they just maybe got upset right around the barn. We were out riding off on a old Barker Road, Cemetery Road in Pleasant Valley. Gravel road, and some quail or something flew out and the horses jumped, and I mean, I went flying off that thing into the gravel, skipped my hands, my knees and everything. And I didn't want to get back on that horse. And the reason I didn't want to get back on that horse is something I realized that day. And that was that, you know, no matter what kind of bridle, saddle you put on that horse, pony, I keep making it bigger. You know, fish stories get bigger, right? It didn't matter what we put on that pony, It was only going to be controlled, what? If it allowed me to control it. If that pony didn't want to do what I wanted it to do, it wasn't going to do it. Because it's stronger than I was. Bigger. Yeah. And my dad reminded me of that. And he told me in some kind of terms, even on that day, son, you got to get back on that pony. Because you got to show that pony that you're not afraid. You know? That you're still willing to get in there and control him. And so I, with tears, I think, got back on that pony. And I can remember not too long after that same pony, because she was a little bit mean, running my cousin up under some bushes, you know, trying to scrape him off. And I remember telling him, just like I was my dad, you gotta control that pony. You gotta make her believe, you know, that you're in control. Because the reality was, could none of us control that pony if she didn't want to be controlled? And you think about a big horse. There ain't no reason in the world that any man should control a horse. Right? And so it's only by the meekness or the gentleness of that animal that it could ever be controlled. And when you look at us as human beings, you know, we might look out in the world and kind of judgmentally look at some people that are wild and crazy and do all kinds of stuff and say they're just out of control. But the reality is every one of us have the capability of being out of control. Of saying anything and thinking anything and going anywhere and doing anything. And we have all this, you know, ability that's just right here in us. And many people might just say, well, any of us could be out of control. So what controls us? Well, self-control is also something. So I don't want to get all the way into that. But what I want you to see is that gentleness and meekness is not weakness. That pony was not weak. That horse is not weak. And you and I are not weak. We are willing to submit to the control of something else. And isn't that really what our calling is as Christians? As Christians, that we're to be willingly submitting to our God and to our Savior? I think it's pretty easy to see when you put it in that light. But in the Bible, we see really a meaning that kind of comes to life when you think about gentleness and meekness. And that is the idea of being gentle in many cases. And when you think about that, if you're holding an egg, do you have to be gentle? Yeah, I mean, but in theory at least, can a big burly strong man hold an egg just as well as one of you nice, soft-handed ladies? Well, yeah. I mean, he can. And so in that, he's got to be gentle, you know. We even use the term with men and say, well, he's a gentleman, right? And that displays a certain, you know, dignity or a certain kindness that comes out in that man. Well, the Bible speaks of that in using these terms, this idea of being gentle, so that may be that there's something to be handled, you know, delicately, or something that's fragile, and someone has the capability of handling it that way. Okay? There are many times the Bible talks about kindness and the way that we are to have that as a characteristic. I think that's not unfamiliar at all to us, the thing about kindness. Well, that's really what gentleness and meekness is. Because kindness also represents a choice, doesn't it? Because in many cases, when someone chooses to be kind, there was an opportunity for the alternative. There was an opportunity to either just ignore it and do nothing, or there was an opportunity to retaliate and do evil. But instead, someone chose what? Kindness. You see the control that's there? It takes a certain kind of control in order to choose to be kind. And then I love this idea here. Gentleness and meekness in the Bible means not only gentle and kind, but not easily provoked. Ready to yield rather than cause trouble. I don't know about you, but that one's kind of hard to swallow. Right? You ever had to take a medicine that is, as we might say back in the backwoods, a horse pill? And you just sit there and you just kind of think about it for a while, right? because that's hard to swallow. Well, this idea of not easily provoked, ready to yield rather than cause trouble, that's like that horse pill. We read it and we all know that we need it, right? But we also read it and we probably all know that we struggle to do it. I don't want you to call names, and I really hesitate to even say this, but I know we'll learn from it. Just think about your circle of life for a minute. Don't you know, people, that it takes something very, very little to spark a reaction from them? And they may get angry, they may fly off the handle, they may lose their temper, they may lose their control, their self-control. On the other hand, don't you know, people, that it seems like the world could just be bashing on them, and they just stay the same? You see the difference? My dad now, he likes to have horses that are good for trail riding, you know? And they're the kind of horses that you take one of these rambunctious, out-of-control kids, like the Bowers, or, you know, any of these kids, and just toss them up on them, and it don't matter. They ain't going to run them under a bush like my old Sugar Pop pony would do. Birds probably could fly out under them, and they'd just look and be like, what was that? They are the perfect example of this kind of description. The world could be beating on them, and they just stand there because they know it's no big deal. Can you see how, as Christians, we would be better off if we could be that way? That we wouldn't cause ourselves as much stress and strain, nor would we cause other people as much stress and strain if we would be those, you know, kind of gentle giants, if you will, that were ready to yield rather than cause any kind of trouble. In Titus chapter 3, there's some verses that to me really give a great description or definition maybe of this kind of gentleness. Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Remember in chapter 2, he just made the statement, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no one despise you. See, he's given a push to Timothy or to Titus. But then in chapter 3, check out what he says right after that. He says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see the great contrast he describes? He first says, remind them to be subject, okay? Be willing to submit to rulers and authorities, to give obedience, to speak evil of no one. Notice the all-inclusiveness of this. Speak evil of no one. Be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to who? All men. Are we selectively meek and gentle, or are we completely meek and gentle? And he gives the description in verse 3 of what we once were. We once were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice. You know, the folks that are not gentle and meek and peaceable in that way, There's that combativeness and the fighting. He says envy, hateful, hating one another, And then verse 4, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, what ended up happening out of that kindness? He saved us. Can I submit to us this morning that gentleness and meekness that comes from God, a godly gentleness and meekness, also saves us from a lot of heartache, trouble, problems? Well, in thinking about that, I'm also reminded of Ephesians chapter 4. We often quote Ephesians 4 when we're talking about unity. But part of what we're called to in this is a humility and a meekness and a gentleness as Christians. Ephesians 4, beginning of verse 1, says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Notice that he's the prisoner of the Lord. Do you think he knew something about meekness? Beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Does it take a determination and a great effort and work at times to have this kind of gentleness and lowliness and peace? Yeah, it does. In Colossians chapter 3, I have another example of this where we are told, commanded, if you will, to put on this character. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. I see a description there of a person that is not easily provoked. They're gentle, they're kind, and they're ready and willing to yield instead of causing trouble. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, there's an interesting verse as Paul writes to the church at Corinth. And remember, there were a number of problems at Corinth, and it seems by the time 2 Corinthians is written, many of those things have been dealt with, and he's still pleading with them about certain things. And so in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1, he says, now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you. Notice, how is he pleading? By the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Pat does a great job in our article of highlighting the example of Christ and His meekness. Christ is like the ultimate example. I mentioned that pony that obviously as a little child I couldn't control. And you think about the great horses, and there's no man that should really be able to control them. But think about Jesus. He had all power as the Son of God. Nothing impossible. No reason in the world that anybody should ever really be able to lay hands on Him or do anything to Him. Matter of fact, the devil himself tried to use that temptation against Jesus, didn't he? So why in the world would Jesus ever go hungry or thirsty? Why in the world would Jesus ever have a sleepless night? Why in the world would Jesus ever be persecuted, ridiculed, taken captive, scourged, and crucified, and buried? Remember what he told Pilate? I think Pat quotes that. He told Pilate, the power you have, who did it come from? It came from God. Jesus was willing to submit to the will and the plan of God. So shouldn't we? And when we beg and plead with others, and when we seek peace, and when we try to choose kindness, we should be doing it with the same mission in mind, and the same goal in mind, and the same, you know, kind of motivation in mind that Paul had here when he says that he was pleading with them by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Well, there's a few other verses that I think about when I consider the meekness that is in the Bible and how you and I should try to put that on as a character in our lives. In Isaiah chapter 40, it's a beautiful chapter speaking about the character of God, the power of God. And in the midst of that, in verse 10 and 11, it says, "Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand." Here's God with a strong hand. We can picture that, can't we? The God who made the worlds, the God who parted the Red Sea, the God who dealt with Egypt, the God who won the battles for Israel. Here comes God with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. But now check out verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. And so here's this great God who has strong hands, strong arms, wielding all power, and yet he reaches down to these little lambs. He reaches down to this flock of sheep, and he feeds them, and he holds them, and he leads them along. How do we deal with others? Are we known as one who always comes with a strong hand and a strong personality and a strong will and a strong temper? Or are we known as someone that, yes, has strength, but it's a quiet strength? A strength that can reach down to the lambs, take them in our arms, and lead them gently along. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's a teaching there that I think will strike all of us. Verse 24, he says, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient." Verse 25, "In humility," or meekness, "correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." How is it that we're to go to others? With gentleness, with meekness, that perhaps they can be saved. Are we a servant of the Lord? In 1 Peter chapter 3, similar teaching is given to us there about how we give an answer for our faith. 1 Peter 3, verses 15 through 17, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Do it with meekness. You know, we could add that phrase "with meekness" to a lot of things that we do, couldn't we? As a servant of God, as a servant of the Lord, that we approach life with meekness, with gentleness. Finally, this morning in James 1 and verse 21, we read this verse quite often when we're talking about the importance of learning and knowing the truth, being a doer of the word, not a hearer only. But you should notice again that this verse is emphasizing this reality of to whom we really need to bow the knee to and to whom we need to really give control over to. In James 1 verse 21, he says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. And you notice he says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Can we see that in many cases when gentleness and meekness do not prevail, it's actually in a time in which we've been provoked and prodded. That's when we show whether or not we're gentle and meek and kind. You know, one of the times in which we're provoked? When we read the Word of God. We talked about it in the auditorium class this morning, right? When Moses came to Pharaoh. What was Pharaoh really provoked with? He was provoked with the Word of God. Because Moses was told what to say, wasn't he? He was told who to tell him had sent him and what the message was. God said, "Let my people go." It wasn't just about what Moses had to say. It was about what God had to say. And Pharaoh thought he was God. So what did Pharaoh say? Nope. You know what happens so often today? What happens so often today, I'm afraid, is right the opposite of James 1:21. We hear the Word of God, and similar to Pharaoh, instead of receiving it with meekness, this implanted Word that's able to save our souls, we reject it with maliciousness. We reject it with filthiness. We reject it with selfishness. We reject it with the power that we believe we have, instead of willingly submitting to the power of the Almighty God. So I want to beg you this morning to listen to James 1:21 and receive with meekness the Word of God that can save your soul. One day every knee will bow. One day every tongue will confess. One day every soul will know that God is almighty, all-powerful, and the one that's due our love, our worship, and our service without any doubt. Let's just hope that that one day is not the day of judgment for any of us. Let that day be today that you give God what's due to Him. And you receive with meekness the bridle that He wants to place on your life, the rudder that He wants to guide you with, the lamp that He wants to give you for your feet. Take it. Take it with meekness and take it with gentleness. And then give it to others. Give it to others. You know what it looks like. Because when I talked about those that you've seen in your circle of life that are meek and gentle versus those that are brash and temperamental and always mad and arguing, you know what it looks like. So which one are you? Which one am I? Let's get the fruit of the Spirit coming out that needs to. If you know that there's something wrong in your life, today we'd love to pray with you and pray for you. If you want to be baptized into Christ, all things are ready. Just receive it. Receive what God so freely offered. And He'll be that shepherd that will gently guide you home. If we can help you today, won't you come while we stand and sing?